Generation Kill, Bomb in the Garden.
MSU at Radio 3-1, we're checking in with you. Hey, Roger, hey, we just had contact, and stand by for a 6-line. Radio 3-1, we're ready to copy. Hey, before I give you the 6-line, do you have a visual on our pause?
Daytime, Ray's peeing on sand.
Jesus Christ. That's a lot of city.
I'm not careful. We'd get lost in this here.
Brad, Fick, and Gunny have been gazing at Baghdad skyline.
Street after street, alley after alley. Look at it.
We thought those little towns a kilometer long were tough.
You heard the radio traffic on the way in. Still got Fedayeen sniping at American units down there.
So where are we headed exactly?
This area right here. Shia slum called Saddam City.
Saddam City, huh?
Need to rename that bitch.
Hitman Actual, we are Redcon 1 and 5 mics, over.
Roger that, Hitman. Roster mic and 5 mics.
Mount up! We're on the road, boys!
All right, Jim.
Roster mic!
Gear up, Team 2.
Great.
Let's go, mount up!
Dude, Team check it out.
I wrote USA with my pit.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Brad looks at the letters in the sand, then grins. A convoy of Humvees and trucks set off.
Call Hitman 2 Victor. Keep gun dispersion and stay vigilant. 2-1 copy.
2-1 Bravo. Roger.
2-3. Roger that.
Hitman 2. Roger that.
Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to lend 50 cents. No bono.
Ray sleeps as the rest of the Marines in Brad's Humvee sing along.
2 hours of pushing through
the Humvees approach a crowd of civilians.
Hitman 3-2 Actual, this is Hitman 2-1 Actual.
This is 3-2 Actual, send it.
Give me Cucker.
He is no longer on this team, over.
Say again?
Be advised, the team leader's been fired, over.
Can't raise Cucker?
He's not riding with 3-2.
You guys singing King of the Road without me?
The Humvees turn off the road into the grounds of a factory.
Hail the conquering heroes!
It's General Mass's arrogant bastard.
All hail First Recon!
Inside, silver paper rains down like ticker tape.
What's all this silver paper they're throwing at us?
Cigarette factory.
Anyone got a match?
Well, they make these Iraqi shit sticks.
Fuck, man. Compliments of your new villa.
We be fucking rich.
Fucking Haji cigarettes. Next we'll all be eating raghead pussy.
Thanks,
this has got to be the biggest cloud of secondhand smoke ever.
Fuck,
you fucking execute people for shit like this in California.
ATLs, looks like we're safe in the vehicles outside.
Outside, the men are relaxing by their vehicles.
Gunny! What's the drill here? We've been digging holes every night.
Combat's over, Rube. Besides, you can't dig through concrete.
Dirty! What the fuck's going on?
Cuck and Redman, you gotta hear from them. They're back with Motor T, Colbert.
Motor T?
Dirty nods and Brad sets off, striding straight past Captain America, who watches him.
Hey, buddy. We're gonna find Sergeant Cutter.
The Marines are using a large warehouse as a makeshift garage. Brad finds Cocker sitting with Redman.
Oh, Brad. How'd you like my new MOS?
I'm a fucking pug.
At least we got tunes. Gangster back here with the pugs, dude.
What's going on?
You ain't team leader no more. Because of that EPW takedown? Going with Captain America was trying to get us to help bayonet the Haji. He tries to stick the dude, we stop him, or we get suspended.
Them reservists reported our unit. Same first sergeant shook my hand. Told me I saved his life when I pulled an EPW out of the bushes. I sent a report saying we're all involved.
We were trying to stop the cap. Now I'm a war criminal?
The town's got a full inquiry. Godfather's on it personally.
Why is the captain still commanding the platoon?
I relieved him for about 20 minutes. Reinstated him. Seems like officers don't like to suspend other officers. Every one of us. We get paid to brutalize people. But our captain, he's brutal to the wrong people.
Eric, I'm not going to stand for this. I request masks.
You know where to find us.
Captain America stops Brad.
Brad.
You heard, didn't you? I'm not going to stand for my men being fucked like this. My uncle's a full-bird colonel at CENTCOM, and I'm contacting him. I'm hiring a lawyer. For all of us.
For all of you.
The important thing, Brad, is that Eric and Redmond hang together. We don't want them talking on their own. Eric looks up to you. Let him know I gotta take the lead.
Sir, at the risk of speaking out of turn, it seems to me those men might not share the same interests as you. They're suspended. And you're not.
Beyond my control. You know, Brad, the Marine Corps promised to watch our backs. They said that we would be held accountable to facts, not as they are in hindsight, but as they appeared to us at the time. They told us that going in. And now they're hanging us out to dry.
Yeah.
Brad walks away.
First Recon will conduct military operations in and around Saddam City to include patrols that establish the American presence, stop the looting, and restore a sense of security in order to allow critical, life-sustaining functions to take place. The intent is to locate key facilities in our zones, such as schools and hospitals, to collect intelligence on Fedayeen and Ba'ath loyalists who are still at large, and to prevent lawlessness and disarm the populace. The end state is a humble, competent force occupying this area, ensuring security and mutual trust between us and the local populace. We have rolled through this country fucking things up. And now we have to show these people what we liberated them for.
Fick looks at the faces of his men.
Marines have been here for about 24 hours and set up on the other side of this warehouse. They've had one killed and one wounded from sniper and mortar fire, so keep your PPE on at all times. Those are Navy SEAL snipers set up on the top floor of the office tower. And judging from their rate of fire, dropping a bad guy every 5 or 10 minutes. Compared to where we've been, I think it's pretty safe here. We should all get a good night's rest. That's it.
Hoorah!
Hoorah!
A fucking car bomb at the main gate. Motherfuckers from 1-5 are lighting up the street like it's cool.
Should we go help them out?
Brad and Ray seem reluctant. Fick to Gunny.
I was wrong about that good night's rest.
A small bullet lands at Scribe's feet.
No Purple Heart, no disability check for you, reporter.
Wasted a good bullet.
This is definitely not good.
The men look up as a twin-rotor helicopter swerves over their heads to dodge two missiles fired from the ground.
Not good at all.
Scribe and Trumley look amazed. Nighttime. Most of the men are sleeping on the concrete beside their vehicles as Scribe emerges holding some toilet roll. Brad's talking to Cocker.
Lily and Leon.
Where's the racks at?
Everyone in Bravo will stand up and testify as his incompetence.
He's a full bird uncle at CENTCOM. I'm sure he's mentioned it to you. There's nothing to be done, Brad. Just suck it up and smile.
Cocker leaves Brad to contemplate. Coming across a Marine sitting on a box with his trousers around his ankles, Scribe stands and waits. Half asleep, it takes him a moment to realize the Marine is masturbating. He considers briefly, then moves on. Walking down a darkened flight of steps, Scribe sees a figure running past a closed set of gates at the bottom. As Scribe approaches the gates, the figure runs back, firing a machine gun behind him. Scribe doesn't see who he's firing at. Stafford.
Combat Jack.
No, I tried to shit. I was looking for a place. I ended up out by the front gate. And people started shooting each other.
scribe lies down on the ground.
I think I heard an Iraqi get shot right in front of me.
It's too bad. You probably would have liked democracy.
Chafin.
Is that all you got?
A stray bullet hit one of the Humvees. Smiling at Chafin's defiance, Scribe looks up at a flare lighting up the night sky as tracer fire rises up from the ground.
Mail call!
It's morning. Dirty's distributing the post.
Lily. Chafin.
Hector.
Sparrow.
Yo, Doc. Fuck, all I got is bills.
Ron, they repoed my car.
Don't they know you're a war hero?
Oh, fuck. Got a letter from my wife here.
What's wrong with that?
It came from the lawyer.
Damn, Doc. That's cold.
She wants to take my kids with her back to Reno.
Scribe to Poke.
Everything okay?
Yeah, she's been taking just at the dance class. She's been managing the house okay. She sounded love. No, it's all good, Doc.
My wife says she misses me so much. She says she's gonna join the Marines so we can be closer. She already signed the papers.
What the fuck? She'll get sent straight to Motor T so she can get airtighted by three niggers.
Yeah, she'll look like a fucking cum dragon.
Yeah, I like calling some danger close with my wife. That's for fucking sure. Yeah, maybe flashing cobras right up a fucking lawyer's ass too, you know?
Ain't all joy and happiness, is it? Mail call kind of brings it home.
If morale gets really bad, Mike, let me know. I'll stir him up good with a grooming standard.
I'll let you know.
This was apparently Uday and Kusei's cigarette factory. They exported 20 brands of cigarettes and made almost $50 million a year.
Sounds like you've been doing some research.
Well, you might write a book one day. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I got so much.
Iraqis have gathered at the gates.
We understand.
Please, stop the looting.
Listen, order will be restored very soon.
An alley.
This is what we're talking about, sir.
Actually, sir, it's the only place in the compound not covered by this 3-meter wall. It's this chain link fence.
They duck behind some metal drums.
Sniper, he's in front of us.
How can you tell?
You can only hear that clearly when he's directly in front of the rifle barrel. Zip, zip. Means he's passing a few meters from our ears.
One at a time. Colbert, go.
Mounting.
Brad runs back along the alley.
Set.
I got no muzzle flashes.
Rudy, go.
Mounting.
Rudy runs around a corner, joining Brad.
Set.
Level, go.
Mounting.
Set.
All right, Poke, go.
Mounting.
Fick and Scribe remain.
Set!
Reporter, you ready?
Yes!
Go!
Scribe breaks from cover, but instead of running directly for the corner, he zigzags across the alley. Fick looks puzzled, while Poke can't help but laugh.
What the fuck?
He makes it.
Set, sir!
As does Fick.
All officer. Reporter, what the fuck was that?
Serpentine shell, serpentine. You know, the movie, The Endless. Peter Falk tells Alan Arkin, always run in a serpentine fashion. I was running evasively.
Next time we come under fire, run in a straight line. You'll live longer.
Have a full, happy life of betraying us and others with your venal lies.
This place is crawling with fucking grunts. Looks like my fucking high school, man. I don't get it. We're sending out one patrol a day?
Yeah. It's Charlie today, us tomorrow, and then Alpha goes the day after.
How the fuck are we supposed to take over Baghdad on one patrol a day?
It's because the battalion's only got one translator. Mish can only go out one patrol at a time.
Gentlemen, 1st Battalion, 4th Marines have occupied this structure. Respectfully, you're asked to rat-fuck some other establishment.
Manimal, Chafin, Stafford, and Redmond retreat.
Ricky Recon, you have a nice day.
They gather at the door of the occupied building.
fuck they think they are?
They got there first, is all.
Yeah, fuck that.
Manimal, Chafin, Stafford and Redman are climbing the side of a building, a lattice of bricks, offering an abundance of hand and footholds. They're already several stories above the ground. Reaching the top, they run across the roof, then leap onto an adjacent building like free jumpers. They throw ropes over the side, then skillfully abseil onto the roof of a corridor being patrolled by a marine, then gather around a skylight concealed by a circular cover. Chafin lifts it up.
Hell yeah.
One by one, they drop through the skylight into a dimly lit hallway. Creeping along a corridor, they back against a wall as a marine wanders past. They continue and gather at a closed door, spying a sniper shooting out of a window up ahead. Preparing to open the door, they wait for the sniper to fire. The shot masks the sound of the door being kicked in. The men find themselves in a plush office.
Jackpot!
Chafin puts his feet up on the desk and puts on a pair of glasses.
Damn! Look at all this stuff.
Aw, hell yeah.
Bring in my big-legged secretary.
Yeah, now, right away. Send her in. And tell her to bring me a coffee. Yeah, and a blowjob. With extra slobber.
Redman breaks a computer monitor.
Shit, man.
Fuck it! Captain America made me a war criminal anyway, huh?
Damn right.
Woo! Like that holiday Dirty Earl's always talking about. One with a workman gets to fuck the rich man shit up!
Manimal starts peeing on a sofa.
Oh, hell no. Oh, but you heinous, dog.
As Stafford admires a framed painting on the wall, Manimal picks up a wine glass and throws it.
Get the fuck out of here.
Stafford takes the painting.
Yeah, nice.
A convoy of Humvees is patrolling a residential area. As they turn into a street, the vehicles attract the attention of local men and boys, some of whom run along after them. One of the Humvees, containing Brad, Scribe and Tromley, and with Ray behind the wheel, pulls up and is immediately surrounded by civilian men wearing Western clothes.
Master, Master. America good, Saddam no good. Good.
No jobs. You want anything? Bribes. No good. No good.
We have nothing to do but talk, play dominoes, smoke. Saddam was an asshole.
You have a cigarette?
Life is very hard. Smoke.
Yeah, thanks. You,
you have Valium.
Valium?
Valium. Because I can't sleep at night.
Really? Why?
And the store to buy liquor has been closed since the bombing has been started.
Oh, that's horrible. I got some uppers if you want to party all night.
Valium?
No, no, just uppers, no downers.
No, Valium, Valium.
Yeah, Valium. The man lights Ray's cigarette. Iraqi women and girls bring the American Marines drinks and fruit while others are digging earth at the side of the road. Poke to Lily.
Second, bro. The men are all sitting around talking shit. And the women are all working.
Bro, if we fight the women instead of the men, we get our asses kicked.
Men, they act like they actually want us here.
Let me see under glasses.
Gaza removes his glasses.
Ah, you have beautiful eyes. You like boys or girls?
Girls, dog.
Girls? Phew. Go with my friend. You like.
Hey, Walt. I think we got a light one here.
Just smile like it's all good.
Gaza shows the man a half-hearted smile.
He liked you, bro.
It's a long list. Unexploded munitions, lack of electricity, no running water, broken phone lines, ransacked hospitals, and bandits coming through at night robbing homes. Oh, and they want jobs. Is that all? For now. Let's mount him up.
Yes, sir.
All right, mount up! We're Oscar Mike!
The Marines move out with the Iraqi civilians waving them off.
That was cool.
Steintoff waves at the boys chasing his Humvee.
The phone lines are broken, the hospitals are ransacked, not to mention the fact that these people were telling me they're getting robbed by bandits at night. We should be out there in these neighborhoods at night when they really need us.
That's a no-go. Battalion is saying there's too much heavy fighting going on at night for us to patrol.
Right, but that's exactly why.
Battalion thinks what we have to do is let this work itself out.
Work itself out.
Encino Man reads.
The ability of hostile forces in Baghdad to successfully and continually engage our forces will be complicated by the local Shias' intolerance for regime paramilitary forces hiding out in their neighborhoods.
You're saying we're going to stand down and let one side kill the other?
Italian says we don't go out at night. It's too dangerous. Godfather says the Shias will be doing our dirty work for us. We go out after dark, the Shias might engage us.
And tomorrow night, we're billeted to the north of the city in a hospital complex.
But Captain, this neighborhood we were at today, it needed
us. That's not our mission.
He walks away, leaving Fick looking exasperated. It's daytime. The Humvee convoy makes its way along a narrow, battle-scarred street. Driving a truck, Fick pulls up and turns to an Arab man wearing a suit, sitting in the passenger seat.
Let's find out what they need.
They approach a group of men sitting on chairs in the street.
Ya jama'a.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
As the man in the suit begins to introduce Fick, Fick takes out a notebook. Scribe peers over the interpreter's shoulder as one of the men replies.
They say they require only two items, fresh water and statues of George Bush, which they plan to erect up and down the street as soon as the Americans help them pump out the sewage. They think Bush is a ruler like Saddam. They don't understand the idea of a president who maybe next year will go out.
A drinking shit water.
Damn. Hey, where's our new interpreter from?
Walked up to the factory yesterday. Volunteered his services.
They set up barricades to help keep people out. Everyone is armed. Because the police stations and the armories have been emptied, an AK now costs the same as about two packages of cigarettes.
Fick looks uneasy.
Those from an outlying neighborhood have set up a mortar behind the mosque, and at night they shoot mortars at random.
They kill us.
Ali Baba!
Fick and the interpreter step to one side.
You've taken the country apart, you're not putting it back together. The violence that goes on at night, getting vigilantes and thieves out, will not correct the problems of Saddam's rule. All this is a bomb. If it explodes, it will be bigger than the war.
Two. Every other day. Two, okay? Two.
Doc bandages a little girl's leg.
Sonny. Huh? Rehydration pack and water, all right?
You got it.
Rehydration pack.
Doc picks up a little boy to examine him. Civilians are lining up to see Doc.
You can smell the cordite in the air from all the gunfire overnight.
This is supposed to be the Shia removing the Fatayeen and the Sunnis that back Saddam.
It's bullshit. That's what they're telling us in the briefings. This is a 100% Shia neighborhood. They asked me if it was possible, could we stay the night? I had to tell them no, we had orders. They asked for water. We told them we'd come back another day. But guess what? I just got word that we're going to rebuild it again. To move from the hospital to some power plant further east. Chances are we'll be patrolling some other neighborhood tomorrow and then another one the next day.
A boy steps on a mortar shell.
This is madness.
A group of men jump Doc's queue. The interpreter urges them to step back.
They say they have headaches.
headaches, they cannot sleep, they want Valium.
Tell them I'm not going to give them Valium, I'm not going to give them anything for cutting in front of the kids.
As Doc comforts the little boy in his arms, the interpreter translates his words and eventually convinces the men to retreat.
Hey, bro, give that back. Doc.
Yeah.
I'm handing out candy to the sick kids outside. These dudes just come by and steal it from them. Grown fucking men. Hey!
Doc confronts the men, pushing one of them.
Okay. Get the fuck out of here. Go!
As the men move away, Fick, Gunny, and Brad walk over to Doc, who puffs out his cheeks, slightly shamefaced.
Sir, we're about to be overrun. I can see that. All right, we're going to egress as soon as possible.
It's evening, and Iraqi men, women, and children are crowding around the American vehicles, trying to stop them moving out. Overlooking the street, a defaced billboard depicts Saddam Hussein as the devil with a noose around his neck. The Humvees clear the crowd. Meesh and Scribe are outside a mosque.
You're gonna talk to them alone? Why aren't you going with Lieutenant Fick?
The Imam will not talk to soldiers.
Can I come with you?
Dude, you're a soldier.
No, I'm not. Where did Mr. Hussein go?
He wasn't. He disappeared. He was a Ba'athist agent. Sent to spy on you.
What?
Stepping into the mosque and removing their helmets, Meesh and Scribe are met by two men.
Assalamu alaikum.
One of the men gestures towards a bench, and Meesh and Scribe sit down. Meesh begins to remove his shoes, and Scribe is about to do the same when Meesh stops him.
Wait here. Infidel.
Meesh takes off his flak jacket, then is led over to a Muslim imam in traditional black and white dress. Scribe observes the encounter under the watchful gaze of an Iraqi man.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Kayfa mulana?
Alhamdulillah, bkhair.
The imam gestures at Scribe.
Walladhi dakhala ma'aka man. Sami Allah. Sadiqak. 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 Ma'andana haja wa rahmatullah.
The imam leads Meesh over to a doorway and they step into a room. Leaning back and craning his neck, Scribe glimpses two taps through the doorway. He sits up again and watches two men kneel down to pray.
So what did he say?
Well, he says he welcomes the Americans, as long as they don't expose the Iraqi people to any corrupting influences. I told him we'd bring water down to distribute through the mosque. Also, I asked him for help with the crowd so that they don't go crazy. He says that the Americans should hit them if they come too close.
What?
He says these people are used to being pushed around.
A water tank is parked outside the mosque.
All week long, everywhere we go, people have been asking us for water. We finally bring it to them and nobody fucking wants it.
And see, they are broadcasting that it is against Islam to hurt the Americans.
Yeah, we invaded their country. You'd think they'd at least be grateful.
Scribe to Meesh.
Are you sure the Imam wanted the Americans to come here?
Good. The meeting was totally cool.
Scribe and Ray look skeptical.
I don't know what to think.
What does Meesh say?
Not that Meesh is that big of an asshole or anything, but how the fuck can an elite unit like ours roll into this shit with only one guy who can fucking speak Arabic? I mean, what the fuck, sir?
Fick looks over at Meesh having a smoke across the street.
Roger, Hitman actual. Solid copy on frag. Hitman 2 out.
Outside the city.
This is a park right here that's supposed to be used as a staging area for the Fedayeen.
From our position, we're going to be able to use night optics and set up an OP on the park. And come morning,
You move in and sweep it for signs of hostile forces.
Brad stands.
Gentlemen, they finally gave us a night recon.
You're really desperate, Brad.
It's nighttime. Fig's been watching the city skyline through night vision goggles. Brad and Scribe are beside him.
It's bizarre. All of them driving in and out of the city like it's normal.
Yeah.
Hitman actual to Hitman 2?
Hitman 2 actual.
Hey, Godfather's saying it's time for us to be more aggressive. Suggest you send foot patrols out into the neighborhoods below. How copy?
More aggressive.
Godfather says it's time for us to increase our presence.
Sir, given the level of disorder in the city at this time, and given our lack of a cohesive mission, I'm going to have my men remain in a defensive position until dawn, when we'll move on the park.
Negative. Godfather...
Hitman, having assessed the situation from close observation, I'm going to keep my men in a defensive posture until dawn. Now copy.
Hitman 2, I say again.
Fix switches off his radio.
They want me to be more aggressive. Send the men into this. For what? So I can come home with 21 men instead of 22? For what?
I trust your judgment, sir.
Turning to Brad, Fig ponders.
I can be wrong. A platoon commander's situational awareness doesn't extend very far.
Far enough, sir.
They lock eyes.
I'm talking about a lack of obedience to orders. Your job, Nate, is to execute whatever your captain tells you to execute, and you don't.
Given that you were not actually present to assess the situation, I used my discretion as the CO of the scene.
Nate, you've been questioning my orders ever since our reef.
No, sir, I have executed your orders on every occasion except those few in which to do so would have needlessly jeopardized...
Do you believe this?
The Corps won't forget. It never does, Lieutenant.
Dismissed.
The Marines are on the move. A group of Iraqi civilians have gathered along a residential street opposite a bombed-out property. Across the road, Ray tosses a pink table lamp over his shoulder as Polk walks over to Brad, who's assessing an unexploded bomb in a drained swimming pool.
Give me the dead kit.
Dog, this is not cool. Just go and get it from the truck, Polk.
Ray shakes his head.
Exactly what do you know about ordnance removal?
Jack and shit.
Kids play in this garden.
Polk looks impassive.
This is some bullshit.
He reluctantly heads over to the Humvees.
Garden? What garden? Garden's supposed to have plants in it. This is bullshit.
He grabs a small box from the Humvee. Tromley's watching him from the vehicle in front.
What's a sergeant doing?
Trying to blow himself up. I can blow us all up.
Cool. You guys remember those old movies where they, like, hit the bomb once and it's gonna go off?
Come on, Brad.
And, like, the main guy has to cut either the red wire or the black wire, sweating his balls off, and the music is getting really intense. This is kind of like that. And you just thought we'd be doing this shit.
Shut up,
cool,
Ray.
Right?
A moment later.
It's time, gents.
The men have their fingers in their ears as the bomb blows up on the other side of a wall.
Blow it up real good.
Brad looks pleased.
Don't you feel better now?
Like this solves anything.
Well, there's one less bomb in the garden now, isn't there?
Doc, did you hear on the BBC today?
Huh?
Some newly arrived grunts slaughtered some Iraqi kids who were playing on blown tanks.
You serious?
It's true, man. It happened.
Bruh, they were playing on top of the tanks, so the ROE said they were technically armed. General Massey's on the radio saying this is the worst thing in the war so far.
They're screwing this up. Don't they fucking realize the world already hates us?
Hey! Another one!
Fuck.
He says it's in a hole next to his house. Well, hop.
Hey,
all right,
dog.
Let's go.
Hey, dog. You know what I was gonna write a book about my life as a repo man in L.A.? Know what I was gonna call it? Nobody gives a fuck. That's right. Nobody does.
You know the ideal place and time to repo a car? Crowded parking lot, mid-afternoon. You could jump in a car, drive that bitch off with the car alarm blaring and everything. Nobody's gonna stop you. Nobody's even gonna look at you. Know why? Nobody gives a fuck. In my line of work, that was key to everything.
We keep killing civilians, we're gonna waste this fucking victory.
We can't keep doing this.
Relax, Iceman, relax. The only thing we gotta worry about here are fucking do-gooders. Luckily, there's not too many of those.
Get out of there, Brad. Sir, we have another mark on you, too. Sir, I strongly request
that we... I will not let you blow yourself up trying to maintain property values in Greater Baghdad. That's a no-go.
Up and out, Sergeant.
Get out of the hole.
Brad reaches up to Polk, who helps him out of the pit.
We're done here, Brad.
As Fick and Gunny walk away, Brad looks down at the bomb poking out of the sand. The Marines are positioned on the turf of a sports stadium.
Yes, but the secret to great war is that you never
want to... An Iraqi passes a bottle of clear liquid over a chain-link fence to the Marines. Ray and Manimal smell it.
It definitely looks like gin. It's clear.
It's asking $5 a fifth.
More reasonable, huh?
What kind is it? It's the kind that doesn't come out when there are officers or senior NCOs present. Aye, aye, sir.
Oh, what's this they got us whacked out in?
It's a soccer stadium. It's where Saddam's kid had his soccer team. He'd torch them if they lose.
It must have been pretty good.
Oh, boys. To our last night in Baghdad. LT's just got a hand in his write-up so Ferrando can get all the medals and streamers lined up for battalion. And I heard Eklov saying that we're moving to a base just south of the city tomorrow.
So that's it, bro. We're out.
Dirty.
Shit. Back home on the news, I bet you they're talking about what heroes we all are now. Reality is, we're the kids other parents told their kids not to hang with in high school.
Rudy, put your damn shirt on.
You know what I'd like to see? A couple of them college kids from an MTV beach party dropping to Iraq. They could see what being heroes really like. The first time they'd see what it was like not to have control over their fucking lives. Second thought, scratch that. Middle class college kids out here get us all killed.
Yeah. Yeah, what I like to see? This shit, I seen 203 rounds go into windows and do door one time. What I wish I'd seen? Grenade go up in someone's body. Just boom. Blow that shit up.
Crazy.
Not me.
The men watch as a Marine struggles to free his rifle from some wire and ends up falling and rolling down some steps.
Look at that fool.
Yeah, what up, brother? Yeah, you do your thing.
How'd you gotta hit him with the pie? Hey, dog, you catch that?
Yeah, that one's in my movie for sure, bro.
Nice. Shit was mad.
You know, the military can fuck up anything.
They can even make going to the beach suck. But one thing that ain't overrated is combat. You take rounds, you shoot back, it starts blowing up. Fucking sensory overload.
The men look reflective.
That was cool. Who do we invade now?
This isn't over, Ray. We don't even know what we started.
They pass a truck carrying troops to Baghdad. Poke.
21 days. 21 days to take down an entire country. You gotta give the white man his props.
The men in one of the Humvees are having a sing-song.
Come sail away! Come sail away!
In the truck immediately behind it, Fix sitting in the passenger seat, gazing into the distance with quiet apprehension. Ominous storm clouds hang over Baghdad as the Marines withdraw from the city. A camp at night. Scribe and Polk are sitting in a Humvee.
What's that? You riding her back?
Yeah. My wife, man, she's smart, but she fucked up when she married me. I was a piece of shit. I remember the first time I met her, she told me about all the books that she had read. Dog, it hit me. There's a whole world that I missed. Before I met her, I used to think, man, I got a shitload of hand skills. Mm-hmm. Welding, pipe fitting, repoing cars. Any pussy can read a book. See, I didn't grow up with no understanding. I mean, my mom tried, but my dad, he was a psycho ex-Marine Vietnam vet.
What do you mean, psycho?
He won a Bronze Star. Mm-hmm. I wish I had his warrior skills, but he left us. Left after his fucking jealous bitch of a girlfriend shot his ass in my mom's house. One day, my old man, he tries to patch things up with me. He's gonna take me fishing. Except on the way to the lake, he takes us to this porn shop so he can have a jack in the booths. He leaves me outside in the parking lot where this old fruit tries to cruise me. I threw a fucking brick through that fool's windshield. That was our father-son trip.
Scribe things.
Hey, dog, listen to this. I've learned there's two types of people in Iraq. Those who are very good and those who are dead. I'm very good. I've lost 20 pounds, shaved my head, started smoking. My feet have half rotted off, and I move from filthy hole to filthy hole every night. I see dead children and people everywhere, functioning in a void of indifference. I keep you and our daughter locked away deep inside, and I try not to look there. Doc, you think that's too harsh?
Yeah. Tony, you know, you think way too much.
Sir, time's on the net.
Patterson gets on the radio.
Assassin Actual, standing by to copy.
Battalion requires an escort for engineers no later than 2300 at grid Papa Sierra 458 Niner 23. How copy?
Roger that. Now you copy this, Major. My men are not carrying out that mission. This is a no-go.
I say again, Godfather requires an escort for two engineers.
Patterson throws down the receiver.
They wanted us to help engineers mark a minefield with chem lights.
At night?
Yeah.
It's against division orders.
Hitman 3, this is Hitman Actual.
Hitman 3, standing by to copy.
Battalion requires an escort for combat engineers to mark a minefield no later than 2300 at grid Papa Sierra 458 Niner 23. How copy? Over.
Yes, sir. Hitman 3 is on it. Where's Cucker? We're back in business tonight. Battalion has a minefield, needs to be marked.
At night?
In the back of a truck.
Now, aren't you the guys that were suspended for trying to bayonet a prison?
Yep. What happened with that?
We weren't trying to bayonet a prisoner, we were exonerated. The captain was trying to bayonet a prisoner. Harry's getting a medal for it.
Roger that.
Same goofus who's got us all out here at night trying to mark a minefield.
The two combat engineers are inching their way across a field.
I thought they were just supposed to stand in the road and toss chem lights in the field. What are they doing way the fuck out there?
Hitman, this is Hitman 3. We are proceeding accordingly, and the engine...
A mine detonates.
Gertie, get the corpsman! Man down!
Get the corpsman!
They rush over to the engineers.
Get up, bro. He's
had a landmine detonate on the engineer. Impossible man down. I say again, we have... Correction, we have two men down.
Yeah, cut out any knees.
There you go.
I think it's my eye. How does it look?
All right. Yeah, it looks pretty good. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna give you some gauze.
Right.
Just add some pressure to it. There you go.
Okay.
Cocker ties a tourniquet around the other engineer's leg.
Okay, I catch on three. One, two, three! Eric, don't step on a landmine.
Hey, Gunny, no drama. We'll have you back in no time.
Fuck, it hurts.
Give him morphine!
No, we can't give him morphine till he's stabilized.
Turn off here, I know a shortcut. It's on the map sheet.
Sir, let's take the road we know.
No, Sergeant! It's a goddamn order! I know this shortcut!
The driver turns off the road, and the vehicle plows into deep water. He tries to reverse, but the vehicle is stuck.
Stop!
We need to unload it.
Curazales! Redman! Get into the back of Moreno's vehicle!
Out. I got the leg.
Good.
They carry the engineer to the other vehicle. Captain America is left looking shocked.
It's all right.
This sucks.
We need this inventoried. Down to the last bullet before we ship out.
What the fuck's that?
We got wild dogs roaming around the camp by the shitters. Use shotguns on them.
You see, Sergeant? We do shoot dogs in Iraq.
Tromley takes out a packet of Lucky Charms and bites the end off. He offers one to Brad, who smiles wryly.
Brad fucking blown Haji tank. Can't believe I'm getting paid to dip, work out, and hang out with the best guys in the world.
Okay. Let's go.
But, Brad, need to fill these DD-40s in triplicate. The shipping pounds.
Yes, sir.
Any word on those my casualties? Cassie back to Dawn. One lost an eye, the other a leg beneath the knee.
Any word on why Encino Man sent them out on orders that Alpha Company refused?
Oh. This war has an official name now. Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Fick looks disillusioned.
Hoorah, sir.
I don't miss anything from home. The only exception is my bike. I miss that. Speed, solitude, and no one can touch me. Hey, where the fuck did you go? You haven't said two words since Baghdad.
No more rip fuel. Man. Seems no matter where we go as Marines, it's always some fucking shithole.
Scribe is wearing his civvies and carrying a couple of holdalls. He puts the bags down and approaches the Marines.
Well, see y'all.
Ray nods, but the others stare blankly at him.
Stay frosty.
Brad and Scribe share a smile.
Hey, yo. Gonna play some guys from Alpha. Guys up for that?
Ray looks glum.
Hoorah, motherfuckers. Fuck it, I'll play.
Back among the living?
Ray shrugs, making Brad smile. Scribe finds Godfather in the mess.
Colonel.
Godfather invites him to sit down.
So what'd you see, reporter? Northern military in the world can do what we do. The Marines are America's shock troops. Is there anything you want to ask me before you
Wanna hit your wagon?
Captain America. Captain McGraw, sir.
All right, now. He walked a fine line. Okay? But in the end, he was within the box of acceptable behavior. But in my mind, when you allow that behavior to progress, you end up with a meal eye. You think I should have taken harsher action?
Two attempted bayonettings.
But no Iraqi prisoners actually wounded. All right, now, I wasn't there to see what happened, and I have conflicting reports from those who were. But we're in a war zone, reporter. And if I expect my subordinates to remain effective in combat, then I have to show them trust. Until it's proven to me, beyond any doubt, that they are undeserving of that trust. Now, the same support I extend to Captain McGraw is extended to all my officers. Lieutenant Fick, for example, I'm sure you're aware there's some in this battalion who feel that Lieutenant Fick is unfit for command.
You should consider your sources, sir.
So what happens to my command if I respond to every complaint made against one of my men? It's a terrible feeling to be the man sending other people into combat. Terrible feeling.
Scribe folds away his notepad and shakes Godfather's hand.
But something else I'm struggling with is the excitement I felt. I'm getting shot at. It's just something I hadn't anticipated about war. Did you?
Scribe looks unnerved and quickly leaves. Godfather watches Scribe go and scoffs. The Marines are playing American football. A Marine snaps the ball, and Sino Man catches it and throws it to a teammate.
Go, go, here we go! Yeah! Yeah! Outstanding, baby! Alpha ain't got nothing on us. Let's go! Huddle up! Huddle up!
Next down.
Come on now. Ready, Tia, let it be.
Ready, some Buckeye football.
Hell yeah.
Ready?
Let's go.
Trombley's watching the game. Rudy's wearing nothing but tiny shorts.
Ready, set,
Encino Man throws the ball, and Stafford catches it in the end zone. Patterson watches Encino Man.
Woo! Let's go, bro! All right, Bravo, come on, come on!
Okay, come on, fucker, bring it. You ain't shit, Rudy. Come on, my sister needs her shorts back.
Encino Man throws the ball again, and his teammate gets it.
Here we go, baby!
I own these motherfuckers! I own them, baby! Yeah! Yeah!
Patterson punches Encino Man, then lays into him on the ground.
I can kill you, man!
It's a game, sir. Just got out of hand.
Relax.
What was that about?
Scribe's making his way to a helicopter as several injured Marines are being carried past him in the opposite direction. A young man on a stretcher with a scarred face looks directly at Scribe. Scribe climbs into the chopper and glances across at a Marine sitting next to him. He has a bloody injury on his head and a vacant expression. The helicopter takes off.
Check it out! He whacks his chest with big game. Missed a spot there on your fighter, buddy.
Rudy charges into Ray, knocking him over. Ray's emotions boil over, and he sprints over to Rudy. He tackles Rudy to the ground and hits him. Rudy straddles Ray and pummels him. The others break it up. Ray walks away, shaken and upset.
Ray! Brother!
You all right?
Goddamn, Rudy, go to your little quiet place and chant, motherfucker.
The chopper carrying Scribe flies into the distance. Some of the Marines are playing cards inside.
Y'all get the free pays on the hooch tonight. But tomorrow, y'all tighten up your eyes on us.
Roger that.
We have to believe things are better now than they were on Saddam. This place was fucked before we got here, and it's fucked now. I personally don't believe we liberated the Iraqis. Anyway, time will tell.
I just wish I could go back to that roadblock in LA. See if those guys I shot in that truck were enemy or just confused.
Could have been a truckload of babies. With our rules of engagement, you did the right thing.
The priest told me it's not a sin to kill if you don't enjoy killing. My question is whether indifference is the same as enjoyment.
All religious stuff aside, the fact is people who can kill will always be subject to those who can.
Yo, check it, check it! This is the shizzy, my brothers! 2-1 Bravo Productions! Come on up!
They gather around a laptop to watch Lily's edited camcorder footage.
Yeah, 2-1 Bravo Control, the video.
Let me see your wife's titties, motherfucker.
Yo, Doc, you wanna come check out Lily's movie?
Show me the
titties.
Y'all gonna jerk out. You guys ready?
Good. Ring it.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man running around taking names. The film shows the Marines gathered around an Iraqi monument with an American flag, Chafin and Manimal making lewd thrusting gestures, and a rocket slamming into a building.
There will be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Fick, Gunny and Brad aren't watching the video. Fick nods at Brad, then he and Gunny leave.
At the terror in each sip and in each sup.
On the video, an RPG levels a building, then a mosque minaret explodes.
Disappear into the potter's ground.
Ray enters the room with two cups of hooch and gives one to Brad.
Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels.
Brad takes the drink, then glances up at Ray, who looks as if he's about to speak, but simply laughs and joins the others around the laptop.
Voices calling, voices crying.
Brad smiles gently to himself. On the video, Ray kisses a male Iraqi civilian on the cheek, and Brad runs topless around a field with his arms outstretched.
The virgins are all trimming their wigs.
Polk looks over his shoulder and sees Brad leaving the room.
It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
The video shows images of dead civilians scattered across roads and in bullet-ridden vehicles. Polk appears disturbed, but Trombley is thrilled.
will call his chicken farm. The wise men will bow down before the throne.
Poke and a few others have had enough and walk away looking appalled.
Golden crowns. When the man comes around.
More violent pictures appear. Stafford taps Christopher on the head and they both leave. Gaza swigs from a bottle of gin.
Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still.
Chafin and more Marines get up and go.
When the man comes around.
An Iraqi boy sticks two fingers up at the camera. Two other boys fight in the street. A civilian smiles. A truck burns. A tank turret has boob tube written on it, and the inside of a military vehicle is lined with pornographic pictures.
Voices calling, voices crying.
Rudy and some others depart, leaving only Lily, Trumley and Ray.
It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come.
An Iraqi gunman is obliterated by an enormous blast, filling Trumley with delight.
Trimming their wings.
Fucking beautiful.
The whirlwind.
Ray stares at Trumley with distaste.
It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Ray walks away, closely followed by Lily. Left on his own, Trumley gawps at the screen, mesmerized by the carnage. Trumley stares with dispassionate eyes at a still image of a dead Iraqi.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And Hell followed with him.
November 1775. I was born in a bomb crater. My mother was an M16 and my father was the devil. Each moment that I live is an additional threat upon your life. I eat concertina, piss napalm, and I could shoot a round through a flea's ass at 300 meters. I travel the globe, festering on anti-Americans everywhere I go for the love of mom, Chevrolet, baseball, and apple pie. I'm a grunt. I'm the dirty, nasty, stinky, sweaty, filthy, beautiful little son of a bitch that's kept the wolf away from the door for over 225 years. I'm a United States Marine. We look like soldiers, talk like sailors, slap the shit out of both of them. We stole the eagle from the Air Force, the rope from the Army, and the anchor from the Navy. And on the seventh day, when God rested, we overran his perimeter, and we've been running the show ever since. Warrior by day, lover by night, drunkard by choice, marine by God, Semper Fidelis.
The selfless sacrifice of day-to-day military personnel, especially combat veterans, is underappreciated. And you got the American society want to run as fast as they can to the countertop, to the fucking newsstands, and grab motherfucking Us Weeklies and fucking People Magazine just to see what fucking Jake Gyllenhaal did on Thursday afternoon. You know what I did Thursday afternoon? I put one of my motherfucking Marines on a plane. I put that motherfucker on a bird to fucking nowhere. I picked his lifeless ass up body, put him on a stretcher, and put him off. Why don't they put that? Why don't that be in a motherfucking magazine? Or how about, let's put a day in the life of fucking any average Marine out here going through the streets of Ramadi. Their biggest concern is that, you know, they couldn't buy a mocha latte at fucking Starbucks because it was under construction. Our biggest motherfucking concern is getting blown up on fucking 295 in Michigan. But we're going to go home and they're going to say, wave their little flag and say, welcome home, thanks for preserving our right to go on not giving a fuck.
There it is, folks. We're sitting here fighting for your freedoms. You got the right to say what you want. We got the right to punch you in your fucking mouth if we disagree.